So we're in this series talking about the soul. Still, right, probably not quite sure what it is. And last week, I asked you to fast. Anybody do that? Anybody? Nobody? Really? You did? I did. And I will say, there's one in the back. I had never fasted before. This was my first opportunity. It always sounded like the worst idea ever to me to fast. Like, really? Give up food? That's awful. Why would God ask that of me? He made me and created my body. I need food. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to find out what all this fasting is about. And it's interesting when you plan not to eat and you do that prayerfully and you realize why you're doing it, it was so much easier. I did the 24-hour fast. So I got up and I ate breakfast and I skipped lunch and dinner and then I skipped the following day's breakfast. No snacks. And I thought that I would go and get juice. I was going to do the partial fast, but never made it to the grocery store. But I will say, yes, I felt hungry, and I just told my body, you know what, you're not really hungry. You've got stores in there, I know better. You're just spoiled. And I did drink lots of water. But during the day, it's as if these other senses were opening up. I'm listening to the same music I always listen to, and all of a sudden I could hear notes I had never heard before. And it was interesting, the scripture that came up to me was, those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And as I looked, the colors were more vibrant to me. Something was welling up with me. And things would tickle me that I never noticed before. Like this joy would reside in me, and I just couldn't help but grin over the silliest things. Like usually in a normal day, I would have just ignored it and walked by. And that brought back memories of childhood. Do you remember the days when we were young and you just laughed for no reason? And you would tell your friend, I don't know why I'm laughing, but this is hilarious. I can't stop. Do you remember those days? Well, it's almost that joy, that residing joy that you just cannot contain was welling up in me. And I thought, oh, there's my soul. There you are. And I was learning that as my body was submitting, my soul was able to rise up within me. You see, our souls are continually submitting to what our bodies want. We have to make a conscious desire to make our bodies submit so that our souls can rise up. And that was something that I had learned, which was a very deeper understanding just from a 24-hour fast. And I thought, wow, that's actually pretty powerful. And a practice that I'm probably going to continue to do once a month, and I'll just continue to make my fast longer and longer. I will say this, the downside of fasting, yeah, you feel hungry. And you get a mild headache. But it's not anything that you can't withstand. And this next month, I'm going to fast for 2 days. And the month after that, I'll fast for 3 days. They say within the third day, the headache and the hunger pains actually go away. They liken it to a runner. You ever hear about that runner's block? When people are running and they feel so tired and exhausted, they just want to quit. But if they push themselves and they keep on going, all of a sudden something kicks in within their body and they feel like they could run forever. They say that about a fast. On the third day, you pass that wall and they feel like there's no hunger, there's not anything, which is fascinating. I'm going to try that. In a couple of months, hopefully I'll be there. And I'll just continue to extend the fast because the insight that I was receiving from that, and it's not the power of not eating, it's the power of making your body submit. And food is one of the most powerful things in our culture, right? It's so easy to get a hold of. So very, very fascinating. I just wanted to share that with you. And I'm just sharing that with you too. Oh, hey, I fasted. It's just some information for you to chew on as we journey, this spiritual journey together. So, as we continue to talk about the health of our souls, we look to the life of Jesus for that. And one of the things that Jesus did, Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm not going to do that, but Jesus did that, all right? But we look at other things that Jesus did, and one of the most powerful things that Jesus did through all these spiritual disciplines, all right, fasting, praying, meditating on the word, Jesus also went off in solitude and in silence. He left his disciples behind, he left the clamoring clouds behind, and he went off in solitude to take care of his soul. Silence and solitude really aren't built into our culture very well. In fact, as our culture continues to move along, that part of our lives has kind of been robbed from us. Some of you may remember in your homes where there may have been a radio but no televisions. Do you remember the days when the telephone was actually mounted on the wall? Like, you had to be home in order to answer the phone and hear it ring. And once you answered it, it was attached. Do you remember the cord? You couldn't go anywhere but except for where the cord went you. And so the stores started selling these really long cords so you could actually go into another room. All right. Well, and when you missed a call, there were answer machines. You just didn't worry about it. And the person who called you didn't worry about it. There were these times where silence and solitude, you weren't connected. I mean, technology has done some great things for us in making the world smaller, but it's also these gadgets that were supposed to save us time have really stolen our time away from us in its quality time. All right. So let me give you another example. So I've given you this example of what telephones used to be like, and some of you remember that. What happens now when you leave the house and you forget your phone? Most of us turn around and go and get it. We can't imagine being without it. It's horrible. We're so afraid that we're going to miss a call, we're going to miss an email, we're going to miss a text. What am I going to do in the doctor's office without my phone if I can't play my games? Right? And the realization when we realize we forget our phone and we have that great desire to go back and get it is the realization, the moment we need to realize, oh my gosh, I don't own that phone. That phone owns me. When we think that we cannot live without it for a couple of hours, we've got a problem. Because I promise, if you miss an email, if you miss a phone call, if you miss a text, the world goes on without you. What's happened with this technology, we have started believing the myth that we can be in the center of things. I've got to be in the center of the hub. I need to know what's going on. I need to catch all these emails, all these texts, all these phone calls. I need to be able to play these games. I need to. And when we enter into the center of things, we enter into some sinful circumstances. And what happens is we miss out on some things that's going on that are truly important in our life. Many of us have more than one television. We can't get in the car without turning on our radio. We've got to be feeding our brains all the time. And it's gotten to the point where not only do we have that silence and that solitude built into the lives like long ago, because there weren't any televisions, there weren't any radios, there weren't any smartphones like we have now, there was a lot of silence. There was a lot of time for the brain to think and mull things over, to tarry over things and to calmly think about things. Think about your own life and the lives of other people. And though there were lots of things to do, it was at a slower pace. And it was built in. But as technology's moved on, that solitude and that quiet time doesn't really exist anymore unless you choose it. And most of the time, we don't choose it because we don't want to deal with what's going on in our lives. We don't want to deal with the silence. That's why we turn on the radio as soon as we get in the car. Because as soon as there's silence, we have to deal with the own problems in our life. We can't escape. I want you to hear that word, escape. We use television to escape to another world. We use radio in the car to escape to another world. We use the phone, this gadget. Okay, I don't want to be in my world anymore. Let's see who else has problems in the world. Let's see if I can solve them for them. And it's not healthy for our souls. And we don't ever disconnect from the world. when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus completely disconnected. Jesus realized that his work was extremely important. I think we can all agree and we can come together and say Jesus' work was probably more important than ours. And Jesus disconnected and walked away a lot. The scriptures say he would enter into the crowds and he would do ministry. He would heal people. He would pray with people. And then he walked away. It doesn't say that he walked away and he brought the crowds with them. It doesn't say that he left them a note and said, here, call me if you need anything. He didn't say, hey, why don't y'all come with me? He disconnected and he walked away to a deserted place. He didn't go to a spa. He didn't go to a place where he could escape. He went to a deserted place. And there was a purpose for this deserted place. He said, I'm going out in the wilderness. I'm going to a deserted place to be with my Father. I'm going to connect to God. I'm going to refuel. You see, last week we talked about how the soul has these unlimited desires. And the only thing that will match these unlimited desires is God's unlimited love for us and God's unlimited grace. But you see, we stay over here in the world. Paul tells us, be in the world, but not of the world. Well, it has become so very hard to not be of the world because we love the world's stuff. We love the world's stuff and we love the world's gadgets. I live in a neighborhood with decent-sized houses and decent-sized two-car garages, but you can barely get down my neighborhood street because it is lined with cars, and there's cars in the driveways, and nobody's car is in the garage. Why? Because there's stuff. It's packed with stuff. And not only do they have garages full of stuff, they've got rooms full of stuff, and they've got closets down the stuff, and that's not enough room, because then, do you know what one of the biggest businesses is? It's storage spaces off-site. They've got those too. Do you see how the soul is unquenchable for this stuff? We gotta have it. And we will pursue, and we will want, and we will buy. And the culture's figured this out. Media's figured this out. Business figured this out. If you want to be happy, get this stuff. But we realize that it's not stuff that makes us happy, but we don't know where to find it. So we're pursuing and we're pursuing and pursuing, and we're missing the key mark here. Jesus went away from the stuff. Jesus went away from the people. Jesus went away from his job. Jesus went away from his family. Jesus went away from his friends. Jesus did not bring any of that with him. And he went to a place of solitude. A place where he could center on God, and it was just him and God. Because our souls don't run on stuff. The fuel that our soul needs to live and live well is connection with God. So we wonder why we run and we run and we run and we run, and our bodies get exhausted, and we eat more vitamins, we drink Red Bull, we try to exercise, we try to get more sleep, but we still feel this exhaustion. It's because we haven't connected to the fuel of our souls. Our souls are starving. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You lead me. You lead me where? To green pastures and still waters. And you what? You restore my soul. You restore my soul. It's not the stuff that your soul is longing for. It's connection with God. And then we question ourselves as we live in this world and we are of this world because we cannot help ourselves because we don't know any better. we wonder, why am I constantly screaming at my kids? Why can't I be a better parent? Why am I always angry at my spouse? And then we'll beat ourselves up. Why is it my boss is always nagging me? I'm just going to tell my boss what to do with this job. And we don't know what to do with people that ruffle our feathers because we do not know how to live well in this world. Because the world tells us, pursue happiness, bring your A game, be competitive, chase the dream, and chase it with all you've got. But Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. But that voice is so still and small and quiet. And this loud roar over here takes precedence, and we just run and we run and we run. There's an old story about this family who's moving, and they got some bush people to help them move, some tribal people. I'm not real sure what country this was in, but the family is really anxious to get to their next destination. So they push the bush people. We got to go as far as we can today. And the bush people, okay. So they walked and they walked and they walked and they walked and they walked all day long. And it was time for them to rest. Night had fallen. And the next morning, the family's ready to go. And the bush people are like, we're not going anywhere. We have to wait for our souls. They felt like they had gone so far, so fast, that their souls had to catch up. There's something that the bush people knew that this family did not understand, and we don't understand it. Because we are running, 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 and our souls have not caught up. And all the while, God is chasing us, pursuing us, loving us. Be still and know that I am God, and let your soul catch up. And not just catch up, but rise up. Because it is within your soul that we learn through the nurturing of God and resting in God's presence that we can live in the world and not be of the world. Because our appetite is filled with good things, better things, greater things than what the world can provide. Jesus says, I give to you not as the world gives. I give you peace, peace that passes understanding. I give to you not as the world gives. Come to me, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest from your labors. This time spent with God, spent in solitude, is extremely important for our souls. So here's our homework. And really, we're not really in a hurry, are we? We're not in a hurry to go anywhere. It's kind of like a captive audience, right? Your homework is to find that quiet space that doesn't have a television in it, that doesn't have a computer in it, that you have to leave your electronics outside the door. You can't bring your phone, you can't bring your iPad, you can't bring your tablet. You have to find a space within your home that you leave all the rest of the world behind. You have to do this every single day. And learn to rest in the presence of God. It's like any other kind of discipline. Discipline does not mean punishment. It means learning. We're learning how to do something. When a person picks up piano, let's talk to Sophie for a minute. Sophie. All right. When you were learning to play the piano, you practiced. Yes. Did you practice so that you would practice well? No, you didn't. You practiced so that you would play well. Right? There's a difference. We don't do spiritual disciplines so that we can do spiritual disciplines well. Nobody's going to go around, I hope, saying, aren't I a good prayer? I pray so well. Nobody's going to go around and go, I have got this meditation thing down. I can take any of you. Go ahead. Meditate with me. I know I can meditate better than you. Nobody's going to do that. We don't practice spiritual disciplines so that we're good at spiritual disciplines. We practice spiritual disciplines so that our soul, our body, our will realizes the presence of God in every situation in their daily life, and that we recognize that presence of God. We don't recognize the presence of God because we are not practicing it. And coming to church an hour a day is not going to help you practice. Coming to church an hour a day and doing an hour Bible study with a group, or even an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'll give you three, is not going to do it. Oh, but Pastor, I do a daily devotional every day. How many minutes? And did you reflect? Did you just read the devotional, read the scripture, and call it good? Oh, 5 minutes, I got it down. How many minutes a day do you practice memorizing scripture? How many minutes a day do you reconnect with God and go, oh, there you are, and breath prayers? How many minutes a day do you practice going away from the world and just being? And I will tell you, just being in the presence of God is extremely dangerous. This is why we don't like it, because the voices in our head begin to rise up. One, our brains don't know how to do it anymore because we're constantly feeding our brains. Our brains don't get any peace. We're constantly feeding them music, news, media, reading, whatever, and our brains don't know how to relax. Our brains feel like it needs to be solving a puzzle constantly. And so when we quiet down, our brain's like, hey, what am I supposed to be doing? And it starts looking and searching. And that's why you feel that frantic, like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to be doing right now? It's because your brain has to reorient and relearn how to be still. All right, and that's frustrating. It's just like learning piano for the very first time. It's just like learning how to play tennis for the very first time. Learning anything for the very first time is a struggle. So don't think, oh my gosh, you can't do this. Yeah, you can. It's called discipline. You have to discipline yourself how to do this. So every day, finding time, and I can't tell you how much time. I can't tell you how much time to do this. You have to figure out how much time. You have to figure out how much time to spend in solitude. All right, and some of you introverts are going like, yes, alone time. I've got this down. I know how to do this. No, you don't. I'm an introvert. I know. You want to snuggle up with a good book. No, you cannot bring your book with you. You cannot bring anything that is going to distract you. No books, unless it's the Bible. You want to meditate on the Bible, I'll let you. But you can't bring any other books with you. You cannot bring your games. You cannot bring a deck of cards. All right, you are going completely old school. No electronics, no technology. You are lucky I'm letting you have your air conditioning and a light bulb. All right. And sit in silence. And one of the things that rises up is not only your distraction of your brain looking for something to do, but all of a sudden the voices, you know, that little conference room in your head that goes off and go, you remember when you did this? Oh, that was awful when you fell on your face. And it begins to reroute the bad things in your life. Those old heartbreaking memories, the mistakes that you made, your brokenness, your bitterness, your anger begins to rise up. And when they do, you just start having to give these things to God. You give your scatteredness to God when your brain won't focus. You give these bad emotions and these negative hauntings to God. And it's amazing that after you go through these things and you continue to give it to God, you realize that just being in God's presence enough, all of this stuff, regardless of all this stuff, you realize that God loves you, and you learn how to just be in the presence of God and accepting that love. And when you learn how to live and just be in the presence of God, when you go back into the world, You know how to be a better person and bring the kingdom of God with you. So that is your homework, to begin practicing solitude every single day for the amount of time that you think is the right amount of time in a place where there is no technology. So that might be in your house. Some of you have so many TVs, it's ridiculous. Find a room without it or go outside. But there again, you can't tinker with electronics while you're outside either. And find that time and that space to just be still and know who God is. And in the midst of that, you'll find out who you are. Let us pray.